Well, good morning and welcome to our 11th series in this session on the blessing. And I just want to start by thanking you for studying these 10 plus sessions with us so far, because you've got a choice of a lot of different ways to listen to the Word of God, but I'm so honored that you would choose to spend time for me to share with you what the Lord has shown me concerning this. Now, last week, we talked about David. Blessed, yet he wasn't perfect. And I want to start today, though, by going back to the first verse we read in our sessions earlier in Genesis 1:28, when God, speaking over his creation, over his man, said this. It says, God blessed them, and God said to them, so a blessing is being declared, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. For all men, for all time, this statement is still alive today. So it's good for you and me. That word of power that he spoke is still in effect over us today who believe in our Lord Jesus. Now, last week we saw that David, who was a shepherd boy, just a normal kid, how the blessing worked in his life in what I think is a profound way. And it's really the way the Lord's heart is toward us as well. Because David is a great example of someone who lived fully in the blessing. Yet what? He was far from perfect. And this gave us hope, particularly as we looked at what David spoke in Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2, when he wrote, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. So because of the sin being taken care of for David and for us, this says we're blessed. We're able to partake of this blessing of the Lord. We're not separated from God by sin. We took some time last week to look at some of David's failures. We can all relate to some things he did, others maybe not at all. But the key part is he wasn't perfect, and neither are we. And I'm so glad that the Lord sees us through the lens of our Christ Jesus and what he's done for us. We also looked at some of the good things that happened in David's life, the way the blessing worked, both when he was young and when he was king. And then we got to a part that really kicks in with what we're talking about today, talking about the everlasting kingdom. When the angel Gabriel came to Mary in Luke 1, 32 and 33, there's a couple of phrases that he said. He said, I'm going to give him the throne of his father David. And then it also says, of the end of his kingdom, there will be no end. And this is so important, because what we're seeing here is that this is for us today. Jeremiah 33:17, and this is one that I elected not to read last week, makes this statement. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. Now, why is this so important? A man. This word man in Hebrew is the word A-D-A-M or Adam or Adam, we might say. Now, just keep that in mind as we go through today's session. Jesus repeatedly was called the son of David. In Matthew 1, he was called the son of David as well as the son of Abraham. In Revelation 22:16, he refers to himself as the offspring of David. And today we want to begin to talk about this offspring of David. So I've entitled this one today, The Blessed Son of Man. And I put a colon there for this emphasis, the devil's worry, his main worry. And let me start this section by just asking the question, can you imagine the devil wondering or even worrying? And that is his nature, because that's part of the curse that is on the earth that we have to overcome. But how he would wonder about who it is that's coming. And he's had to do this for 4,000 years. who would bring about what the Lord spoke to him in Genesis 3, the 15th verse. I'm just going to read this one verse, but listen to it. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." But I want us to pay close attention to this. Between your seed and her seed. Now, the New King James correctly, I believe, and other translations do the same, capitalizes the S in this second word, seed. And it does so for a reason, and that's what we're about discovering today. Now, the only thing that the devil really knew about what was coming was that it was coming through the bloodline of Abraham, the blessed one, upon whom this blessing in Genesis 12:3 was declared. And listen to it. "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall" what? "Be blessed." Now, what is he doing here? He's foretelling of the one with a capital O who is coming and who I believe walked in the fullness of the blessing just as Adam had the ability to do there in the garden. Because what? Sin wasn't an issue. Now again, this word Adam is the same word as man. And we just need to see this over and over today. He's talking about Jesus, and he's talking about him being a man. And that's just so important. Look with me at Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. And I want you to pay attention if you're reading the notes or if you're reading your Bible to the words that are capitalized, again, denoting a special one. Now, seed we can say is singular or plural, but I'm talking here about a singular one, this one that is capitalized. "For unto us a child is born," saying that he's going to be a real person. "Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called," in all caps here, "Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then this verse 7 key, "Of the increase of his government and peace." So it's not just saying his government will never end. Of the increase, it's going to continue to expand. "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of" who? "David, and over his kingdom." And then it says, "to order it and establish it with judgment and justice." I'll come back to that phrase in a moment. "From that time forward, even forever." So a kingdom, a reign that never ends. And it says, "the zeal of the Lord will perform it." So we see all these descriptions of the seed in caps, denoting this is a special one. Now, what was Jesus? How was he born? He was born of the Father, just as Adam was. And so he did not have the seed of man in him, that sin nature that we've all been given as a result of Adam's sin. But I want to go back to this phrase, judgment and justice. Justice, judgment really means sin was judged. Think about this in the context of you and I will for me. So our sin has been judged. It was placed on Jesus and judged. In other words, what? Justice has been met so that we don't have to be judged and punished. And then because of that, here's what's going to be accomplished, and it's prophesied in Isaiah 10:27. "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder." The burden that the devil put on us, the burden that sin brings upon us with that judgment that was there until Jesus came. And then it says, "and his yoke from your neck." So he had us bound up. And then the final phrase, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Now, what does the anointing oil often represent? The anointing of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit himself. And why is this so important? Well, this burden of sin, which is described on our neck, if it's destroyed on our neck, and it was put there because of the impact of sin, then what would be flourishing in this sinless man who has come to cause that burden to be removed from our neck? Jesus fulfilled the law. Now, we know this, and also we'll go ahead and we'll come back and answer that question. But talking about Jesus, Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses." And yes, we have those. "But he was in all points tempted as we were, yet without sin." So we are taking on his sinless nature because of what he did, that judgment and justice. It's affirmed in Hebrews 7:26. It's saying that we have a high priest who was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. In other words, he wasn't a sinner and has become. So this happened when he was exalted after his resurrection, become higher than the heavens. So again, what would be flourishing in this sinless man? The blessing. Because of the anointing on his life, that blessing was flourishing in Jesus. And it's through the anointing that the blessing comes. It's through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, think back to what the angels were proclaiming to the shepherds in Luke 2. It says, "An angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord around them." Now, when the glory of the Lord is apparent on the earth, what do we normally think of? Holy Spirit again. "And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.'" Good tidings, the gospel, the good news. And what is associated now with great joy? It's Holy Spirit. "Good tidings of great joy, which is to be to all people." In other words, it's available to all. "For there is born to you this day," and look where Jesus was born, "in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now, what does Christ mean? The anointed one. That one who has been anointed with Holy Spirit. "And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a babe, a normal child, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And then verse 14 picks up and says this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with goodwill toward men." In other words, peace. There's nothing causing a disruption. There's perfect peace between man, Jesus, and now us because of what he did on the cross and resurrection, and goodwill. Now, we think of that as God's favor, his grace toward us. But the epitome of his grace is what? Placing Holy Spirit in us, who is the one who manifests the blessing in us. So what he's saying here is this one is coming to break that which has separated God and his people. That sin, which came, what? With a curse, has been taken care of. So now we are able to walk freely in the blessing. But before we get to us, which we'll do next week, let's be certain we see Jesus operating in the blessing. So I would ask this question of you. Was Jesus operating as God, or was he operating in the blessing of the Lord? Now, you probably know what I'm going to say is the answer, and that's fine, but let's see scripture for it. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8. And I'll just tell you, we're going to be back to this one probably next week as well. Now, I'm right reading this one from the New Living Translation because I just like the structure and the words that it uses. "You must have the same attitude that Christ had." Now, we're going to be back on that verse, so I'm not going to talk much about it. But I'll just say this. Jesus knew that he was the blessed one, the one who possessed the Holy Spirit and was sinless. Though he was God, talking of Jesus, he did not think of equality with God as something he had to hold on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. So he gave up his godly, not nature, but the way that God would operate. And he took the position of a slave and was born as a human being. So he took a lowly position, obviously when compared to God, when he appeared in human form. And then the eighth verse here says, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death, where? On the cross. In other words, he died a sinner's death. So, again, we ask the question, how did he live his life and do all that he did? All the miracles, hearing from God, communing with God. He did the works of power that he did, that only God could do. He lived as a man with sin, no sin nature. Now, we'll see how that relates to us next week more. But he lived as the anointed one in the Holy Spirit, the anointed one, the blessed one. Let me show you this, because this is what Jesus spoke of himself. Luke 4, 18 and 19, again from the New Living. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he's declaring, there is nothing between me and God, and so his Spirit is upon me. And how does he know that? For he has anointed me. So it's something that God spoke over him. And I believe it was as a man, it was the blessing. For he has anointed me to do what? To bring the good news, the gospel, to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives that will be released, setting us free from sin. That the blind will see. We'll not only see the truth, but physically, we've been captive to sin and sickness as part of the curse. And this says we'll be free. And an example of it is sight being given, which was unheard of until Jesus came on the scene. And then it says that the oppressed, those who have been put down, had the yoke of bondage put upon their neck by the devil, will be set free. And look at how he closes it. And that the time of the Lord's favor has come. That his mighty grace toward us, giving us his Spirit and his spoken blessing over men, available to us. So what we begin to see is that the blessing manifested itself in the fullness through the anointing, through the Holy Spirit, in our Lord Jesus. Now, let's get another testimony of this. Last Adam, the seed. And I use those purposefully. Remember now that the Hebrew word for Adam and man is the same word, Adam. And that last week, what was Jesus referred to as constantly? Not just son of David, but son of man. And so when Jesus refers to himself this way, as the second Adam, is he referring to himself as the blessing, the blessed one? Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Now, literally, what they are hearing is, who do people say the son of Adam is, the one over whom the blessing was initially spoken? John 8, 28. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, and that's what he came here to do, and I'm sure when they said this at that time, they had no understanding of what was about to happen. It says, then you will understand that I am he. So I am being the name of the Lord, the Holy Spirit present upon him. And he goes on and says, I can do nothing on my own, but only what the Father has taught me. So again, he's referring to himself as the Son of Man, that last Adam. Matthew 9, 5 and 6, when the man who was a cripple was let down through the roof by his four friends. And Jesus said, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to stand up and walk? And then he says, for the benefit of the religious folks there, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, go home. Now, I like when I teach this in healing, I say it is just as easy for Jesus to forgive sin as it is to heal. Why? Because that forgiveness of sin was taken care of in his going to the cross and in his resurrection. Now we are free from the curse and walking in the blessing. He's just declaring what he has come to do and lets it manifest in this man. So he's doing this as one operating in the blessing. Now I want to close this session, and today's not a real long one, with a couple of verses that I think are key for us to just pull all this together and understand this revelation. It is imperative that we understand Jesus did not do these things as God. He did it as a man. He did it as the second Adam, the second man, the man who was blessed. So two other verses, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. And what this scripture tells us is that this, the first man, Adam, became a living person. God breathed into him. He breathed what into him? His spirit. And he came alive. He was able to walk and talk in the garden with God as his friend. But then it goes on and says, but the last Adam, the last blessed man, that is Christ, the anointed one, back to the anointing again, is what? A life-giving spirit. Now, that's important because that's how we get our life. He was blessed, and in this life-giving spirit we're going to see next week, so are we. Now, building on that, Galatians 3:16 reads this way. Now to Abraham and his seed, another capital S, talking about not the plurality, but the one. This was the one promised, the seed promised to Abram, that would make Jesus available to all people. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing we have. Now to Abram and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ, who is again, the anointed one. So remember the words in Genesis 3:15? He's going to put enmity, devil, between your seed and her seed. This anointed one, this one who gave up deity privileges and walked in the fullness of the blessing as the Holy Spirit came upon him. This one who learned and grew as a child. He didn't come with all knowledge. He had to study to show himself approved, just like we do. That gives us a hope. This blessed one, who really became to be the Lamb of God for us, which we'll be celebrating the resurrection, his death and resurrection here very shortly. Let me close with this verse and see the blessing in these words. Acts 10:38. Remember, he came to remove the yoke of bondage that sin and all that sin brought from us. Think about that as we read it. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now, as we study next week, we're going to see that this blessed one, the Son of Man, the Son of David, the Son of God, the work that he has completed also puts us in a position of being the anointed, the blessed of the Lord. So I look forward to seeing you and concluding this study next week with you. And then we're going to be able to go out and see the fullness of that blessing be available to us. Again, thank you for joining us. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. Be blessed and have a great week.